Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, Danny Kelly was with us. It being a Monday, we just reflected on the Premier League weekend. We had a bit of a whistle-stop tour of all nine games.
Yeah.
We squeezed in, as always, on a Monday, so we did that. We had a bit of a conversation, didn't we?
We did. We had a bit of a chat.
And we had some clips of the week pewter from 2010, and there was one or two out of that random selection that have become old favourites, I think. So, anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Paul. And I don't know if you saw this, but the journalists emerged 3-2 winners in their annual football match against the Tory MPs at Villa Park. Yeah. And the MPs were managed by Kwasi Kwarteng, who insisted on the full 45 minutes per half and then changed his mind and went for 40.
Oh, OK. Nice, nice bit of satire. That's not strictly true, is it? I would imagine he was a bit busier than that. But is the match true?
The journalists versus... Yeah, I wouldn't make that bit. That'd be pointless.
Don't you remember us having a game out in the old...
Yeah, I do remember
that game
them,
we played?
Yeah.
We played the Labour... Andy Burnham turned out that day. Yeah. He wasn't a bad player. A
few ringers.
Now, I mean, that was the one we played when for around the Champions League. This week. Yeah, they had one particular ringer.
Supposed to be somebody's.
Yeah, we played a Labour Party team,
Real Madrid,
TalkSport team, and this kid was like he was a cross between Luka Modric and Messi, and apparently he was a special advisor to someone. Yeah, I bet he was.
Now on Saturday, because we're going to talk about all the games with Danny, but on Saturday I mentioned it to Dance, who was commentating on Palace Chelsea, that I was going to try a new avoid it completely experiment.
Yeah.
Because I just drive myself into the ground following the game on the radio and I get all upset and everything. It's not the same as being there or even on telly. I find it sort
Well, you can no more influence it if you're there than you can watching it on the telly or on the radio.
We went to Hogarth House. I've never been.
Okay.
At Cheswick Park. I was quite relaxed and I came back and saw that they'd won. Mm. And then I tracked the scoring and I could work out how I would have felt. So as soon as I would have started off with reasonable optimism, as I always am.
Yeah. Then they scored.
Then they scored Palace. I would have been quite depressed and angry for about half an hour.
Okay.
Till
Hogarth House is. I mean, I suppose it's fairly self-explanatory.
Well, it's a house where Hogarth, the famous painter, lived.
Well, no, not everybody knows that, do they? You know, this is not...
logical, really.
It's not Radio 3, is it? I mean, with respect, I'm sure some of the listeners knew. Some
Rakes Progress and
I
all
bet
that.
There was at least a good few hundred TalkSport listeners thought it was a Spoons.
I was quite comfortable there because all the ceilings are quite low. Because, I mean, it's a house that was built in something like 1654 or something like that. Yeah, it's quite
But
old.
Surely while you're walking around this place, all you're doing is thinking about Chelsea.
No,
it's consuming you mentally, isn't it? You're not
I was in the moment. I was looking at the Hogarths and then we went to Chiswick House and walked around the park. That was very nice. Yeah.
And you didn't look at the phone once?
Didn't look at the phone once. Absolutely had no idea. I was very relaxed. Obviously, I'm thinking, I wonder what's happening. But.
Constantly.
But then again...
I'm not sure about
it. It's
this.
Not the ideal. I'm not doing it again, because the thing is, although they won, so I might have to do it again, obviously, I missed the
I don't want to disappoint you. Well, you walking around Hogarth House and not watching... It had no bearing on the result of that game.
Well, last time I did that, they won 6-0 at Southampton.
Some very iffy officialdom had much more influence. Blimey, I mean, you're so one-eyed. Even you thought that was a red card.
Oh, it was.
On Thiago Silva.
I don't understand what these referees... referees are doing.
I know.
I certainly don't understand Anthony Taylor. But as long as he stays fit, I think Arsenal could win the title.
Oh, bit of satire coming from you, not from me. Anyway, Danny Kelly's going to join us.
I'm not a fan.
We're going to be having a chat about that later on as we look at all of the games in the Premier League so far this weekend. Still one to come. We will be up in Leicester with Philbert the Fox, Jeff Peters, as we preview tonight's commentary match between Leicester and Forest. A big game for both of them, of course.
Yeah.
Just listening to Brendan there, he's quite, he sounds quite, you know.
He's got a great voice.
He never raises it. Does he ever raise his voice? I've never kind of heard him shouting or getting upset. He even does that. I mean, he'd be a great late night DJ, wouldn't he?
He would.
Overnight. So I don't want to put Martin Kellner out of a job or Paul Ross, but
a good job swap.
Could see Brendan doing that.
Well, he might be available after tonight.
He doesn't ever do a Barry Fryer or Neil Warnock, does he? Or something like that. He doesn't sort of lose the plot like that. Well, maybe he does. We just don't see that side of him. So something to get you going on there. You've probably seen that Jack Grealish is less than enamoured by the way he looks in the new FIFA 23. Have you seen it, Andy? Have you seen the picture in the
Oh, yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, he does. He said he looks like, that geezer out of Toy Story. The young kid, I think he's sort of Sid, who sort of pulls the legs off of the robots and stuff. So he does a bit, doesn't he? I mean, you've never seen Toy Story, Andy, have you? Maybe maybe they've got a special Toy Story exhibition at the Hogarth Gallery.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you were such high art. It's great, isn't it?
I wouldn't say Hogarth is high art, though, is it? He was a sort of...
Oh, we're going to have a chat about... Can you stick a string quartet on? He was the EastEnders of his day.
He was.
Andy Jacobs' Rake's new series on the...
Brilliant.
On the, I don't know, you took any of this in because all you did as you walked around that gallery was think about what Chelsea were doing.
That's not true.
Honestly, it never works. So there are occasions in life, in all our lives, when someone, I don't know if it, maybe those things on holiday, you go away on holiday and they have these artists and illustrators sitting there, and occasionally you think, yeah, I always wanted someone to draw me or draw the kids or draw your other half. So they sit down,
cartoony,
you see them all over cities, caricature, all over the world, and they, well, yeah, but sometimes you think, blimey, do I look like that?
Yeah.
So that was nothing like me. If you've got examples of those to try and cheer old Jack Grealish up, well, I'm not particularly going to need it after yesterday, the way he played and indeed the way his team played. More on that in a moment. Do get in touch, talksport.com/HNJ, and text to 81089, and you can tweet to TSHNJ. That's TSHANDJ to get in touch today.
Wolves apparently want the Sporting Lisbon boss to replace Bruno Lage. Mm. And I can't believe they're going for somebody from Portugal. Seems such a strange move
look,
for them.
Let's be honest, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Sort of. If you like that sort of Portuguese football.
If you've got an enclave of players like that, I mean, it does make an awful lot of sense. So we'll see. We're going to, Wolves fans, we're going to find out a bit more about some of the runners and riders. Amorim is apparently the favourite, but they're looking at others. Even Gennaro Gattuso has been mentioned.
Italian.
Oh, okay.
Not Portuguese enough.
He'll get by. He's got a smattering.
Maybe
give it Eric Dier to the end of the season. That's the way to look at it,
That's
Wolves.
A good idea.
Yeah. It'd be a bit more solid at the back.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time now to round up the weekend's Premier League action with Car Finance 24/7. And as always, joining us to do just that is Danny Kelly. Good afternoon, Danny.
I'm glad to see I'm sponsored now. It's all very good. Good afternoon,
well,
everybody.
Yes.
Our time. Yeah.
Well, look, we've got plenty to get through. We are going to kick off. A couple of features of this section. When the producer has had enough of us rabbiting on about a particular game, you'll hear that music they play when they want to clear the stage in the Oscars when someone's overstayed their welcome with a too long... There it is. Hopefully that's not
Leeds
for our
Villa's
first...
Leeds Villa's just going to be the music.
Yeah, Leeds Villa's just... Yeah. apart from some time-wasting chat...
The music and three of us waving at each other, yeah.
But we also have a little section. Whose turn is it in the barrel?
Yes.
And it could come up at any point during... in our conversation, but in this case it's coming up at the very start because we're going to be covering, this is a team really, every team takes, your team, our team, my team, takes their turn in the barrel at some time during the season, comes under a bit of scrutiny. Yeah,
except City, sorry.
Oh yeah, probably except City. Well, you know, they might have a bad day one day.
Oh, yeah,
let's start then with Manchester City versus Manchester United. Yeah. No great surprise that in the barrel this week are Manchester United, Danny. Not not their finest hour.
Do you know what? There's so much to say about this before the Oscar music start, but in some ways, this is the you know, putting them in the barrel. I feel a bit sorry for Manchester United. Forgive those words, because Manchester City are the way they are just now. It's a bit like berating the Kaiser Chiefs for not being the Beatles, isn't it? because you know, United are not the worst team in the world. It was a rotten performance in some ways. City are so good. Although United should be livid with themselves. Imagine how this is going to look in the future. Yeah, we went to the Etihad and we got three goals. Oh no, we lost 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to waste three away goals in a local derby with a defeat. You just don't.
Yeah, two came though when it was all done. And I thought though that I was at the 4-0 down at halftime at Brentford, and I thought it was different to City. They were pathetic against Brentford, and they gave Brentford two goals, easy goals. De Gea dived over one of them, terrible clear out. But here, City just tore them to pieces. I mean, this was a different
thing. They didn't help themselves, though, Danny, as I think every goal has been analysed. Certainly those four first-half goals have been analysed, and they did let themselves down, didn't they?
Look, I'm not sure, Paul. I'm not sure that any team can resist City in this current formation and in this current form, because I think in the gap between Aguero kind of falling off, there was a cut and the acquisition of Haaland. There was a couple of years where you thought, and you know, Spurs have done it as well. Here comes City. They're going to come at you. They don't come at you all guns blazing. It's kind of all, they might have a sort of a hacksaw blade tucked away in the back pocket or something. They didn't have the cutting edge. Now Haaland has done two things, hasn't he? You live in fear of him personally because he's there, and also it's just given the City players such a huge lift, knowing that all of this passing and running and self-sacrifice, all the things that they do, is going to end up with at his feet or head or whatever he's going to use to get it into the net.
His telescopic legs.
Yeah, I mean, the Inspector Gadget finish, which he is now amazing, doing, which we've seen incredible. A few times. Yeah.
I've written, by the time he's finished, there'll be no records left, and I think that's about right.
Yeah. It goes back to what was said in the very first game, after the first game, when Phil Foden, we've talked about this, Phil Foden didn't square in the ball, and he said, all the boys have got to realise that there's been a while where they couldn't put a ball in those areas because there was no one there. Erling will be there. You put it there, Erling will be there, and I think he's
even
proved
put
that.
It in front of him, he'll be
there. You put it behind him, you can do whatever you like with it, he'll probably be there.
That was Haaland speak for new sheriff in town, wasn't it? Because the team doesn't revolve around him, but it all ends up with him. And I can't work out which is a bigger surprise, how well he's adapted to the English game, or how surprised people are by what he's doing. Anyone who watched him at Dortmund, frankly, not great Dortmund team over the last couple of years.
Even at Salzburg, Danny. I mean, he stood out. He's doing all the same things for them.
Even when he was in a pram. Back in the day.
He's incredible. Yeah. There's no question about
that. Yeah, he is.
And the Dixie Dean record. I mean, the idea of 60 goals in a season. I mean, is he capable of that, Dan? What do you think?
Well, he'll look to Clive Allen first and almost 50. There's nothing to stop him. He does have muscular injuries occasionally, but I will caution you here. Dortmund were really blighted with muscular injuries over the last couple of years. I wonder whether it was something that's going on in the way they were training their footballers. Because at the moment, there's nothing to stop him getting certainly 45 goals this season. Nothing.
They're wonderful to watch, Danny. But how good is this for the league, though? Because they look like they could have it wrapped up by March, really. I know Arsenal are on top at the moment, but you have to think
It is, Andy. If you want a scientific answer, it is that the stratification of football's finances continues apace. You have a nation-state team at the top of French football. The two Spanish giants finding new ways to finance their jiggery-pokery, particularly Barcelona, who are, of course, having pulled the four economic levers, find themselves top this morning after Real Madrid's draw. I think we've been very lucky so far in the Premier League that we haven't had an absolute runaway 10 titles on the trot club. And I don't think we will. But, the encouragement actually comes from your team. If they're prepared to pay above Christopher Nkunku's release clause, as they appear to be doing to get this deal done in January, Maybe Todd Bowley is prepared to spend his way into a place to challenge Manchester City. But at the moment, they're the best team with the best weapons. It's fantastic to watch.
On a lighter note, we learnt yesterday that Kevin De Bruyne is a man of very strong views. Ahead of this game, he did a Q&A in the Sunday Times, and they asked him about his favourite things, his favourite tipple. He said, I despise juice. He despises juice. He's not. I'm not keen on juice. I don't really drink juice. Despises juice. My favourite book. I hate reading, he said. Yeah. I read to my kids with a book with plenty of pictures, but I hate reading. So he despises and he hates that. He's not a man to mess with, clearly.
Yeah, but he hates reading. Yeah. Come on.
He actually might have said, I hate reading. Yeah. So maybe I got it wrong. Anyway, let's move on to a game that we probably won't dwell on for too long. It is the game between Leeds and Aston Villa. Look, it had its moments. Both sides had their moments. But I said moments. I didn't tell you a moment. Look up a moment in the dictionary.
I just watched the cricket. I couldn't be bothered with it.
The fallout from it was time-wasting, according to Jesse Marsh, who said Villa were time-wasting too much. And apparently there was a meeting last week with the PGMOL and the managers, and they spent 90 minutes talking about time-wasting, but they only actually spent 60 minutes of that talking about time-wasting. But they did, apparently, and he's very upset that they had a big talk about it last week, and then he saw a team do it.
I don't think Andy's having his Leeds manager, are you?
I'm not keen.
No?
I'm not. I think his after-match comments are absolutely ludicrous virtually every week. It's not for me, but if Leeds like him, fair enough. I'm not a Leeds fan.
It was, not the greatest. I mean, it had quite a lot to live up to. I think one of the websites said, follow that, Leeds. And, they couldn't really, could they? It's very difficult.
No. I mean, I'm pressing a bit about Aston Villa. They had 19 shots and away from home and didn't get one of them in. Now, look, that can happen to you. Goalkeeper can have a great deal of rest. But also, if you're running out of luck and you need a bit of luck, and it would have been a second win for them, but it suggests that things are not quite right there. Luis Sinisterra, who was sent off, has had a hell of a week. Yeah. He's travelled halfway across the world, got his first, second and third ever goals for Colombia. Then, of course, he struts back into the dressing room. Everybody calm down. Lewis is here. Bang, he's off halfway through the game. But that's the joy of football, isn't it?
The second one, Danny, the second yellow, is easily the sort of one where in the old days the ref could have had a word, as they say. He could have said, look, don't be silly. You've just calmed down. You've just been booked. But you don't get that
refereeing
anymore, do
you? Common sense.
A word anymore as a referee, do you?
No, you don't. But there is a cost to this, isn't there? You know, the imposition of the referee's power or the letter of the law costs the spectators the football match because you don't want to see 11 against 10, 10 against 11.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what to do about it because you're not supposed to stand over the ball and block people doing it. The only thing you could possibly do, instead of it being a yellow card, move the ball 25 yards forward. Oh, yeah. It takes it to the penalty area. All due respect, penalty.
I never have I been more glad to hear this music.
Yeah. They're squeezed in.
Thanks, Andy.
No, not because of you, Danny.
Because the of game. The, meow, Andy. Yeah. Wandering around the Home Garth Gallery.
You do your best, and this is what you get.
Yeah. West Ham Wolves, the game that cost Bruno Lage's job. Well, I mean, cumulatively, you would say. But it was, we'll come on to that a little bit later on with Andy Brassel. But
It was classic Wolves. I watched the game in the first half. They were the better team, but they did what Wolves do. They just didn't score a goal.
Yeah, Adama Traore, you know, the man trying to score the goals for it, you're always going to be up behind the eight ball, really, as we saw. But a good day for them. Scamacca scoring a good goal and Bowen scoring at last, which has been very odd this season that he's not been scoring goals for such a good player.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess for David Moyes, this is you know, welcome relief. It really is a welcome relief. But he shuffled the pack once more and the bits and pieces start to fall into place. But you are at the moment playing your joker when you play Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's one win in 15 for them. So they will give you every chance to sort out issues with your defence, a midfield that's not quite clicking, or even in the case of Jared Bowen, a player who's wildly out of form. They are currently the physicians of the Premier League. You've got an illness, come to Wolves and they will fix it for you. And it's not a surprise they're no longer going large, because what's he achieved there? Nothing.
No, it's been difficult, really. Yeah. Obviously, the lack of strikers.
Anyway, Diego, there's been a bad luck on that front as well.
Yeah, Diego Costa, yeah, of course, is back. And we were all enjoying the idea that, you know, when Gallagher scored the law of the X, you know, coming back. And,
yeah.
Costa's going to play Chelsea next Saturday at the Bridge. He's about to score,
isn't he? Yeah, a little cameo from him. Yeah.
Andy, what did you feel when you saw the once pantomime villain and spaghetti western anti-hero of the Premier League, normally, of course, in a Chelsea shirt? What did you think when you saw him coming on a Wolves shirt?
Well, I was pleased to see him. I think
he was a lovely fella.
Yeah, he was great for Chelsea. He's one of those players, if he's in your team, you love him.
Mm. Yeah.
And everybody else hates him. But, yeah, I thought... he showed signs of...
He did, yeah, yeah.
He missed a chance he should have scored. He put a good cross in for the...
Whoever comes in has got some pretty decent players and get them firing.
Yes, yeah.
You feel that they'll be all right. Anyway, Danny Kelly...
speaks Portuguese, otherwise it might be...
Yeah, well, I think there's a pretty good chance he will.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Danny Kelly is with us. We have ticked off three of the games in the Premier League this weekend. We move on to the next three, and three very much... is the magic number. Liverpool 3, Brighton 3, and Brighton, Danny, could have been out of sight by the time Liverpool got going.
I mean, 3 or 4 nil up
easily.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm almost afraid to open my beak about this, Paul, because Andy's already had one go at me. He's already had a go at Adrian. He's operating operating some kind of radio scorched earth policy today, isn't he?
He is, yes, taking no prisoners.
I want to talk about Leandro Trossard, really, but you have to say Liverpool have got any number of smaller problems, but the biggest one is the concession of the first goal. Take away the COVID season behind closed doors, and in the Premier League history, I think the figure is just astonishing. If you concede the first goal in a Premier League match, you do not win in over, I think it's almost 85% of cases. So even after Liverpool had got 3-2 ahead, I'm still sitting back going, they still won't win this, because the stats tell you they won't win it. If you concede first, it's so hard to climb the mountain. They've got to start, and they've conceded the first goal, I think, in 5 of their last 7. It's just making life very, very difficult for them. The other thing, and it's the truth that dare not speak its name, everybody bangs on and on about Trent Alexander-Arnold, but Virgil van Dijk is not the player he was before his injury. He just isn't. No. Let's say it.
No, he clearly isn't. I mean, the defending for the goal was chronic. But they still, they haven't lost touch. They've got a game in hand. If they were to win that, they'd be 1 point off top four. So,
So imagine what they'd be like if they start playing well. I mean, Salah's, there's been a bit of heat on Salah. It's his worst start, isn't it? I think since he arrived at the club.
Isn't it interesting how Mane is missing Liverpool and Liverpool are missing Mane? He should never have left.
Yeah.
The Kasper Schmeichel thing is exactly the same. He's getting endless grief about the way he's keeping goal for Nice, and clearly his leadership's being missed by Leicester City. Yeah. By the way, if Leicester win tonight, if they win tonight, from Liverpool down to the bottom place, there'll be just 6 points. I know it's early in the season, but I think we're going to see an incredibly close league away from the sort of top two or three of this season because of the particular shape of the season.
And look, it looks like a new manager's coming at Brighton, and you can't see the join, and you can't think
it's a lot easier for him than Potter. I was thinking about this in the weekend. He's taking over a team that are really in form, that have been built and developed over a sort of 2-3 year period.
But there's plenty of managers who could have gone in and fouled that up, and you could probably name handfuls of them. But he's just gone in. He said, "Okay, I've got a good blueprint. I'll just work around that. I'm not going to try and shake it all up." That's why they gave that guy the job, because that's what he said he would do if he got the job.
And particularly because we know that Brighton, with their phalanx of young people in Camden Town, looking at data. they will have seen that what he did at Sassuolo in particular. You can make comparisons between the size of the club, the way they played, and how they did in Italy. What they haven't done, Paul, is to make the mistake of appointing a manager who is out of sync with the kind of squad of players they got. Because that's usually, you're right, managers go in and mess things up. But usually it's because they're the wrong person in the gig, and they were never going to do that.
Yeah, that's what they they tend to kind of focus on the shortcomings of the last guy and say things like, "Well, he wasn't tough enough. So let's bring a tough
players
manager."
Players aren't fit enough. That's
players aren't fit enough. And none of that nonsense. Anyway,
they're decent, Brian.
The takeaway from that, you expect Liverpool to come good, and well done to Brighton. Fulham 1, Newcastle 4. And there was a lovely moment in that around certainly not the tackle by Trevor Chalobah that got him a red card.
Nathaniel.
But Nathaniel. When the referee went to the monitor to have a look at it, there were some Fulham fans sitting behind the guy, and there was an old boy there, and you can see him. You don't have to be a great lip reader. Yeah. He's saying, "No, no, there's nothing in it. There was nothing in it. I don't know if his kids or whoever's sort of laughing at him because they're clearly his. But it's when the monitor, they go to the monitor, the crowd in the background around the monitor and those grounds where you are close to them are worth watching, really entertaining.
Yeah, and I don't think we should be in the, 2022, we shouldn't be relying on ourselves lip reading. It should be coming up what they're saying in little captions all around the screen, because it is always incredibly funny that people and of course don't forget they are giving the official their opinion of something that happened 70 yards away. Mm. He's looking at a screen of 3 feet away with a close up of it in slow motion, but still their opinion must be heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Newcastle, though, they always look better when Callum Wilson plays, even though the focus was on Almiron.
He's had to come back.
They make a difference. They do. But, you know, if you get a player sent off after 8 minutes, it's just...
Yeah, it's always going to be tough. And the Almiron goal has been all the talk, the goal of the season contender and all that. It was a corker, audacious,
I think is the word.
Yeah, I think it was. But it was a corker, wasn't it, Danny? What a fine goal.
Well, he's one of those players who has tremendous skill sets, but not quite enough of everything to make him super elite. I've gone from elite players to super elite now. He's a top. He's not quite top, is he? He's only top. But because of his pace and stuff, he gets himself into some great positions. And we talked about Traore beforehand not being a reliable finish. Almiron hasn't always been but he knows he's in those positions, and you have a go as a professional footballer and you make contact like that. We always just have to go, thing of beauty alert. So it was just a beautiful thing to watch, wasn't it?
Fantastic. No,
and just a rotten day at the office for Fulham. You get a player sent off quite rightly, despite the old boy behind the screen, and then you lose Mitrovic after half an hour. It's not your day, is it?
No, absolutely. I'm sure they'll come again as well. Southampton 1, Everton 2. Yeah, was it the stingiest defence in the Premier League, Evan? I've got this. This is a beauty. Thank you to the Sun for this. This Southampton team featured Walker Peters, Bella Kochap, Coletta Carr, Maitland-Niles and Ward-Prowse. Saints becoming the first team in Premier League history to start with five players with double-barrelled names.
That's an incredible...
Wow. Yeah.
Hats off, though, to the Everton fans who defied the train strike. That's a long journey. Yeah. I worked it all out. 474 miles from Anfield to St Mary's.
You've got a lot of Everton. They're a big club. They've got fans all over the country. It's a big London...
Why were the Everton fans starting at Anfield, Andy?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's a very good point.
They like to go there first.
I should have done good. Yeah.
That's where they pick the coaches up just to wind them up.
That could have really changed everything, that.
Because Liverpool normally at home, so the idea of picking up the Everton coach there rather than at Goodison sounds... It could kick off.
I was just trying to get Liverpool to Southampton. You're right. Absolutely.
It could be
right,
a bit dangerous. But, yeah.
We know it. The cliche is, of course, that you're only wrong by the width of Stanley Park, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. Hats off to Frank Lampard. Mm. Cass in the Times today, Tony Cascarino, saying much tighter than he thought they could be, a Lampard team. And that's something he seems to have learned. They've recruited well and they are difficult to break down. They're getting decent results.
Yeah, and they're starting to do one at you. They're defending their goal and they're not automatically getting beaten away from home. Because they were the last 2 years, really, Everton have been scrambling around to get their 40 points from the home fixtures because they were just terrible. But that's another away win for them. And I agree with you, Andy. You can see that he solidified the team. Southampton, by contrast, this season and last, at 7 home defeats out of 10. And that is the real alarm bell, because we've seen teams like Everton survive even if you can't do anything away from home. But if you're automatically losing games at home, and I know occasionally they'll come back and do something amazing, or they'll lose 9-0, but that is a trend and a pattern that would have the alarm bells ringing there. And with Mr. Large already on his way, I wonder if I would hate to lose Hasenhüttl, because I love saying his name so much.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a surprise if Southampton were getting a bit twitchy as well now, would it?
No, but I think they'll stick with him for the time being. They've had enough decent results this season.
He should go back to the wetsuit. I mean, go back to the clothes he wore when he first took over, that very tight black tracksuit that looked like he was wearing
a wetsuit.
But it
will be interesting.
Like a police frogman, yeah.
Yeah, ditch the under-manager of a Tyrolean hotel. Ditch that look.
But I was thinking, though, if Gareth does pack it in after the World Cup, from either because he's won it or we've gone out in the first section, Lampard will be one of those that the FA look at.
Okay. So Frank Lampard for England manager, you're saying?
I'm just saying he'll be amongst the people they look at.
If they keep going the way they're going. Mm.
Okay, fair enough. You heard it here first.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs. Danny Kelly with us, and we're reflecting on the Premier League weekend, and we turn now to Arsenal 3, Tottenham 1. And Danny, I know you've been talking about this already at Down the View from the Lane podcast, but if you can bring yourself to do it again, what was your pint-sized reading of the game?
Well, I'm going to talk about predictability here, because In the run-up to the game, you would expect, normally in Northern Derby, everyone to be very nervous. In my family WhatsApp group, almost entirely dominated, brothers, sisters, loved ones, the lady wife, by Arsenal fans, not a hint of tension among them all. They literally were sitting around with their feet on the corner of the desk, getting the popcorn ready for what they knew was an inevitable victory. I thought, you know, Arsenal played really well. They got on the front foot, and their attacking players are doing great at the moment, really good. I thought Spurs were ridiculous. You cannot line up like that and defend your goal for 90 minutes in the hope of a breakaway goal. I think Antonio Conte thinks you can. But for me, Paul, I'd love to get your view on this. Spurs fan, when did the start of the season, because I was talking about predictability, I was predicting that with the five substitutes, teams would go two up and bring on five defenders to see the game out. I did not expect teams to go two down and bring on five defenders to see the game out.
Yeah.
What? You cannot. So Spurs set up with one forward player on the pitch.
Well, we all know it was damage limitation. It had to be, because he feared they'd get a right tonking, which they probably.
What's the difference? You get humiliated 3-1 because you've done nothing in the game, or you get beat 5-1. There's no difference.
As a neutral, I don't quite see it the way you see it. I thought that against United, Arsenal were caught on the counter. Although they had the majority of the game, and United played really well on the counter-attack and scored goals, Spurs had chances in that game. They had the final ball.
Better final ball.
The transition was so poor. If they just played a couple of decent final balls, it might have been a different story.
To Richarlison to Perisic, where they overhit passes, which they just could have put in front of the player.
You never know what happened. I just thought, the red card changed the game at 2-1. You don't know what might have happened. You don't know what Conte could have done. I just find Anthony Taylor so irritating. Every big game he's involved in, there's a controversy, there's a red card. That's only a red card if you're looking for a red card.
What I would say about that is that I wonder if coaches do say to players, look, it's Anthony Taylor this week. 2 weeks ago, he should have given a red against Van Dijk. He probably got a bit of a shooing from Mike Riley and
Pogmol.
From Pogmol, and he certainly got a shooing in the media.
I wouldn't give him a game higher than Bournemouth v Forest. I wouldn't.
It's going to be, next time that happens, you're going to be off, so be careful, which of course Emerson Royal wasn't, and by the letter of the law, you can certainly make a case for that being a red card. I think it was more than that. I mean, going into the game, Danny, I think you felt the same. I thought they should have started the game as they finished the Leicester game with three in midfield. And two up against Arsenal, succeeded so much possession. Arsenal very good in those positions; they're very confident.
They could have hit them on the break. It's true.
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't. But he's kind of wedded to that system. So although I'd like to have seen him play it, I knew he wouldn't.
No, I he is wedded to the system, and I would ask him simply, who else not talking about teams drawn against much better teams in cup competitions. Who else in world football is currently trying to win games on the break? I'll tell you who else. England. And so the person I feel sorry for is Harry Kane. He is the spearhead of the two most defensive teams in world football. Look, Andy, I take your point about the final ball and all the rest of it. But trust me, if you have as much... Spurs had 7 touches in Arsenal's penalty area in 90 minutes. You're not going to score goals. You're not going to win games.
And they are playing well, Arsenal.
No, they certainly are.
They are. They're very good.
Which is why I'm not saying you to take with a touch more respect, but maybe have lined up in a slightly different way. But anyway, it's early. It's early doors. We live to fight another day. We move on to Palace versus Chelsea.
Never a red card. Oh, of course it was.
I mean, that's probably one of the clearest red cards of the weekend. I mean, Thiago Silva knew exactly what he was doing, and the idea that he was too far away and too wide. side is absolute nonsense. And you think,
well, it's such an insult to IU, isn't it? Like, yeah, a professional footballer couldn't score from there.
Yeah, and it was it was definitely a red, and it's hard to believe with VAR they make a mistake like that.
It was a strange edit on Match of the Day, because I saw another highlights package, and Chelsea had quite a few chances, including a mount header they should have buried.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
yeah,
they didn't show on Match of the Day. I thought that's a bit surprising, a bit of a one-sided edit, but there you go.
Look, it was possibly two red card offences, and he doesn't get sent off. It just makes the whole purpose of VAR seems so weird. They will break every bone in their own body and stretch every sinew to find a marginal offence in the build up to a goal, and then when there's a chance of a goal, they won't even send the miscreant off. It's very, very odd indeed. I must say, I hope I'm not going to embarrass you here, Andy, and I mean this. Hearing the conversation about Hogarth earlier on, Andy knows that I'm very interested in paintings and things.
Yeah.
And a while back, Paul, Andy, who clearly knows his own way around a palette, showed me some paintings that he'd done.
Yeah.
And I said to him, Would you sell one of those to me? I really, really like them. And he was very, very gentle about it. And he said, they're only for my own personal consumption. But I've actually tried. He goes to the Hogarth to get inspired to buy paintings that are good enough to buy.
His paintings are very much from the naive school. They're not particularly Hogarthian, are they? But I'm a big fan of his roundabout. So
my note here is Fofana at fault twice in the first goal. For Fofana's sake.
Fofana. Yes.
And of course, you've talked about Conor Gallagher and the inevitability of that.
Not celebrating.
They
did show on Match of the Day. Righty didn't have quite the same take on it when he went back to Selhurst and scored, of course. But
I mean, it's so inevitable, particularly if they come on as a substitute. I sometimes think the opposition should be allowed an extra player. Because it's otherwise the game is stupid, isn't it? It seems to always happen, doesn't it?
The fans respect
Costa's going there next week, so he can do it. But I think the refs will definitely punish Chelsea down the line for that.
Well, let's hope so, eh?
Well, that's what happens. That's the way that's the way they referee this lot. They make a mistake 1 week and they try and redress it for no reason the next week. That's the style.
Yeah, okay.
And that is a nonsense too, isn't it? Not what you're saying, but the fact of it is nonsense.
And just very quickly, where the music's playing, do fans respect a player who doesn't celebrate a goal against them because he used to play for them? Does it make us feel any better? Do the Palace fans feel any better?
Yeah, it gives them less to get angry about.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't agree.
They're
paying your wages, you're wearing the shirt. Have a little leap in the air. Have a little leap.
We finished then with Bournemouth 0, Brentford 0. The main takeaways from this, Gary O'Neill doing a good job. I hear from Kane there in the bullet, and he's being linked to the Borough job, which is quite interesting. So maybe it might force Bournemouth's hand because he's made them hard to beat, which they've not always been. And
four unbeaten. If you've given them any run in the season of four unbeaten before it started, they'd have taken your arm off. So that is a fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that part of the thing that Thomas Frank was talking about afterwards was kind of picking Ivan Toney up a little bit, saying he and his family and all of us here were sad that he didn't get a little bit of game time. So, I mean, from Brentford's point of view, maybe this call-up has been sort of counterproductive.
I think, you know, the small chaos that was going on in the England camp where they suddenly had to get something from the game against Germany meant that he couldn't get the 30 or 40 minutes I'm sure he was supposed to get. And I suppose at least Thomas Frank has got plenty of Maltesers with which to help comfort the lad.
There'll be a family-sized box on its way to the Tony household.
The ref got plaudits in this game, though, didn't he? For, you know, going against...
with his decision.
Was he called Thomas Breville? Is that his name?
How
does he prepare his toasted sandwiches?
You're after a free sandwich maker, aren't you?
I didn't know what his name was. That's what it sounded like.
And I think I think you could have always looked it up, man. You ever heard of research?
I know, I could look it up now.
Don't bother looking it up.
Well, I didn't want to spoil the joke. It
was good.
I didn't want to spoil the joke. Fantastic. Anyway, Danny, that's us, I think. The music hasn't even started, but it should have done by now. But thank you.
There's a lesson there. Let's not end these sections on a 0-0 draw.
No, that's very true.
For future reference. Match of the day, isn't it, really?
We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks very much,
love
Danny.
Love that. Cheers, man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy. Yes, I was watching the NFL game at Spurs yesterday, and it struck me that there were more people dressed in daft costumes at that game than there were in the London Marathon.
Really?
What a crowd. It's really weird.
I didn't notice. What sort of stuff were they wearing?
All sorts of Viking stuff and just various loud outfits.
They're wearing Viking stuff for a reason, though, weren't they?
Well, I suppose so. Yeah.
The Vikings playing, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can
they
see...
They still look ridiculous.
I can see the sense in that.
Yeah, I can see the sense of it too. Yeah. But funny, we were chatting yesterday. I was having a chat with my son about the current state of... You'll see where this goes in a minute.
Okay.
The current state of roads in London, in our areas. I mean, I currently basically live in a car park.
Right.
And so does my son, for basically the same sort of reasons of the council getting involved and doing work that no one can really see why, but there we go.
Right.
So we were talking, and he's saying to me, it's going to cost... They want to rebuild the Westway, which is one of the main routes into town, and it's going to cost $5 billion. So I was saying to him, you know what, that's only slightly more than it costs to buy Chelsea. So my son said, we reckon that Todd Bowley probably knows more about rebuilding than he does about football.
Yeah.
And then we worked out
so that you think he should sell and buy the Westway, do you?
Well, not necessarily, but if he was in charge of it, he'd spend millions on concrete and tarmac and then fire the bloke he'd ask to order them straight away. You get the idea.
Well, I see where you were going with that.
Yeah, you get the idea.
I can
there.
See where you're going.
Uri Geller is planning to duplicate himself.
Hey?
Yes. So he's basically going to train somebody up who looks like him and can sound like him and can do, you know, whatever Yuri does. So he can run, bend spoons.
Yeah.
He can get him to sort of take over the Uri Geller Museum.
Wow.
So you'll turn up at the Uri Geller Museum after Yuri's gone.
And there'll be a Yuri alike there.
There'll be a bloke that looks like him, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sounds great, Andy, yeah. Of course, he picked up on my idea, didn't he? When he bought an island, I said, you need a football team for that. Now he's all over it. He's got a football team on his island.
He has.
He's been recruiting, yeah.
Now, I always love these sort of surveys that start off. This is a story in The Sun today. It says, football fans have swapped pies and pints for quinoa salad and coffee at Poland. No, they haven't.
Not around my way.
Not any round anybody's way.
Yeah. Forest Green, they might have done.
Well, they might have done. That's
yeah,
it. That's true.
Quite possible.
It seems unlikely. Mikel Arteta says Arsenal are humble. I was thinking myself, that's the one thing they're not.
Okay. These are just random musings of Andy Jacobs as he reads them off of a piece of paper.
If you are going out to Qatar for the World Cup and you won't be able to go to every game, don't count on actually being able to watch the games in your hotel or villas, because beIN Sports are charging so much money to restaurants and bars to show the games that people are going, well, I can't afford it. There's no point. It's not viable. So, therefore, you know, you won't be able to see the games. There's something wrong with all this.
So it's not on their terrestrial telly then. It's beIN who are doing it, and then they're selling it around
the
region.
They're selling it. Apparently, they're charging 25,000... Oh, this is $25,000 pounds for every restaurant or bar that shows them.
Wow.
Seems like quite a lot of money to me for something
that
should basically be free.
What we've heard about the beer prices, they'll make that back in an evening, won't they?
It's ridiculous.
Quite possibly.
Well, it should never have been.
So if you're there.
It
might not be on the telly.
That's what they're saying.
Wow. Bit of a shocker.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, it's the Monday pewter selection, just to bring you up to
speed. Not putrid.
No, well, who knows? We haven't heard them yet. We've not heard these since 2010. I'm sure he does a fine job. The producer curates these. He found some old mini discs with some old clips on. And they're kind of warts and all. You know, they're not the greatest hits, but there's normally some good ones in there. So let's take you back 12 years in talk sport history. And we'll begin with Mike Parry and Andy Townsend, a formidable double act at one time, talking puppets.
Who is the most famous ventriloquist dummy in Britain now? It's still Sooty, isn't it?
Well, and Sooty never said anything. He just whispered in your ear.
Yeah, but he moved and everything, didn't he? You know.
Well, not really a lot.
It wouldn't be the hardest. Wouldn't be the most difficult puppet to use in a vent act, though, would it? Really, be easy. Can't see your lips move. There's a reason for that. Yes.
Now it's over to Mark Saggers and Mickey Quinn on The Weekend Breakfast, who were chatting to boxer James De Gale.
Well, you've got the best man looking after you, of course, in France,
and you're exciting to watch, James. So when can the public see you back in on the canvas?
Probably not.
That's
the
very
best,
good, isn't it?
That's trash talk, Quinny, isn't it, really? When can we see you lying flat on the canvas?
Occasionally amongst the pewter, you do find a little bit of gold.
A little nugget there, panning for gold. Mm-hmm. Back to Mike Parry and Andy Townsend again, who were talking about the hot weather.
That must be murder, especially with the weather we've had over the weekend.
Yep.
You must put a shirt on and you must be like instantly perspiring, you know, within about 5 seconds.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. That's a good point. Sure is exactly what you need.
That's exactly what you need, Mike. I just think it was Andy, when he kind of thinks back on his football career and what he was going to do post that, yeah, punditry, yes, you know, of course, co-commentary, yes, he still does that brilliantly for us. But he probably had never imagined he'd be sitting next to Mike Parry talking about puppets and perspiration, did he really?
No, not
probably
really.
Wasn't in the game plan, although he loved it.
Yeah.
Yes, what's next, Andy?
It's a clip that's become a Christmas Eve show staple. It's Alan Brazil looking ahead to an exciting guest.
Right, we're going to have a quick break, and coming up, the youngest British female ever. Congratulations to Benita Norris.
Wow, isn't she going to have much to say? She's about 30 seconds old. Old Benita. A very hard interview that was, really tough. Here's how much Mr. former cricket correspondent Jack Bannister with an update.
Jonathan Trott, the star of the day. I said it was his day, whatever happened. A brilliant 175 not out. He wants to go on, and if he could double that, he will. He's a greedy little batsman.
Wonder where you were going with that, Jack.
Very good point.
Thankfully, a greedy little batsman. Andy.
And talking of greedy, here's the Moose with the sports news.
In other friendly action last night, two goals from Liverpool's Maxi Rodriguez, even.
Rodri Macriguez. Fantastic.
The Welsh player.
Can play for Wales. Rob Page is listening. Here's Alan looking ahead to the upcoming World Cup in South Africa, as it was.
Now, Spanish group. Let's have a wee look at the group first. I had it there a minute ago. Tell us who's in the group. Right, Spain, Switzerland, Honduras and Chile.
I think you'll find it is. Let's not get him on the South American games, will we? But old Alan.
And staying with Alan, here he is having a bit of a deepest depth moment.
Okay, Steve, thank you. Martin Dagenham says, gents, we haven't lost faith in Capello.
Lost faith?
you don't want
to lose the faith. You've got to have faith. One more from Mike Parry, who was talking England with Mike Graham ahead of the World Cup.
To me, the way they came back was great for the fact that they've got character and resilience. The introduction of Joe Royal in the second half is a turning point in the whole World Cup campaign.
The introduction of Joe Royal in the second half. Joe's got probably in his 50s then, wasn't he? I would imagine. It was quite the player to bring on.
This is Danny Kelly talking Manchester United.
David Gill is saying today that the club is not failing. That he's saying that Manchester United is in an incredibly healthy situation.
Situation? That's easy. Yes, inventing
new words.
Funny
how nothing changes.
Yeah. Back to Alan again, who was still having a look at those World Cup groups.
And Portugal's group G, Brazil, Ivory Coast, Korea, Democratic Republic of Korea, and Portugal, of course.
The Denmark Republic of Korea. They're a good side.
Finally. Ever wondered what it would sound like if the guests on TalkSport were accompanied by an evacuation alarm? Well, wonder no more.
That they cannot afford to operate the clubs anymore, and
That's basically what it comes down to. He spent a good portion of last year looking for investors to buy in as a minority investor into the Rangers, but came up with absolutely nothing on that front. Everybody who was interested wanted Tom Hicks to be, at the very best, a minority partner.
Evan, do you think that the Tom Hicks and Randy Lerner coming into English football means that we might see more Americans in future? Or do you think, well, what's happened with the financial problems that Tom Hicks is about to have or is having right now may put possible American investors off?
Well, you know, I thought when Hicks went into Liverpool following the lead of the Glazers and the other...
Still going,
yeah.
I thought that was going to become a real trend. It looked like the ability to, in America, to monetize the...
It sounds like the bloke from Slipknot, isn't it? Doing a kind of backwards whistle.
European football, I think, was very attractive to a lot of people. Wow. But, you know, Tom Hicks essentially bought this...
Still going. That was Mark Donaldson, our old mate Mark Donaldson, Hearts fan and ESPN reporter who now lives over in the States. But talk about soldiering on with an interview.
I wouldn't have bothered.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There we are. So we'll come back to you in a minute, or could you go somewhere else and take this call? But nope, just soldier on. Anyway, there's some clips of the week pewter for you. We'll dust off a few more around the same time next week. And still to come today, Jeff Peters will be joining us, our man in the East Midlands. Huge game tonight.
Yes.
For both clubs. I mean, I think El Sacico's pushing it a bit. I don't know, this whole narrative around Steve Cooper, I think, is all a bit premature, don't you?
What did I say to you would happen? I absolutely predicted this. It's so unfair on the man. He did a brilliant job for them, and he's got them promoted. And I thought, as soon as he gets into any trouble, they're going to get rid of him. You might as well not bother. You might as well have been better off sort of almost getting them promoted.
I can't believe, and maybe we'll find out from Jeff as he chats to the Forest fans as they turn up later, and I cannot believe there are Forest fans out there saying, oh, he can't do it.
No, he's a good coach. You've got to give him a chance. I mean,
they've got to. I'm sure the Forest fans are. I think it's a bit of a press narrative. Mm. I mean, it's maybe coming from a media end, from our end, and not from the Forest fans. I can't believe, after the way he turned things around last year and got them up, that they don't think he deserves the chance to bed that squad in and get some results. But we shall see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Myself and Charlie will be doing it all again tomorrow. John Richardson, comedian and Leeds fan, will be among our guests. Mm. Andy, you're back on Wednesday, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
When are Chelsea playing Champions League? Wednesday or
Wednesday
Tuesday?
Night.
Wednesday. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But only back on Wednesday. Charlie here tomorrow. Do hope you can join us for one. If not, podcast will be available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.